Blog Talk Radio.
Again, you know, and everything. But, hey, Virgil, how goes it, brother? Oh, man, going good, going good, man. We're going to have to show papers in Louisiana now to buy groceries, and we got to put masks back on. And, boy, we're just so much into socialism now, we could just shit all over ourselves.
Wow, wow. I was wondering what you were raving about. Well, we're going to talk about all that here in just a minute.
Joseph, you got something on that ain't supposed to be on because we're getting an echo.
It's not me. Oh, there we go. Yeah, it was me.
So, I know it was anyway. You because you do that shit all the time.
But anyway. Go ahead, Russell. We'll introduce our guests here and everything. You know, what we're going to talk about, though, me and Russell talked about this Friday, and this is going to blow y'all's minds, maybe. But go ahead, Russell. What you were going to say?
Oh, no. Let's bring her on and get started. I'm just going to talk about a little bit about the heat down here. But
Hey, Sassy, how goes it, my friend? Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, and good evening, guys. I appreciate you having me on your show. It sounds interesting, what little tidbits that I've heard already. So I hope that I can bring something to your discussion this evening.
Well, I hope after what we talked about for the last couple of days, you know, I think this is going to open up some minds. And, you know, and I brought you up to date on everything that we talked about on the show and stuff, so... But anyhow, go ahead and let the guys know who you are and everything. And just to let you know, Sassy is a good friend of mine, somebody that's reliable and stuff, and I trust her. So I think you will see once you hear what she has to say. But go ahead, Sassy.
Hi, I really don't. I'm retired. Used to work for the taxpayers of America. Did that for about 20 years. I have a degree in criminal justice. I'm a curious person, and I like to really dig into things that pique my curiosity and see where the investigation leads. So that's kind of how my brain works. I'm active somewhat politically. I understand the method here in this country, as most people do. That's about all that I know to say about myself.
Well, let me ask you a question, there, Nancy.
Hello.
Go ahead, Russell. Are you there, Russell? I think you got cut off.
You got excited and hung up. No,
okay, I'm totally Joseph, excuse me, but with the time you spent doing investigation stuff, and we've watched this investigation go on for three and a half years now. You have this whole Epstein thing on top of the Russian hoax and the Ukraine hoax. We know who the guilty players are. But since you have an insight into that side of things, why aren't these people being arrested?
I think a lot of it's a distraction. It's a distraction and a cover-up. I mean, there's some of what you're seeing that is has validity to what it is, for sure. But the bigger picture, what I'm seeing, is it's geopolitical, for sure, global. Mm-hmm. It's more than the United States. It's bigger. It's bigger than who we are. And I'm not sure who the one that was speaking of Louisiana.
That was Virgil.
Terrible. I hate to hear that. But, you know, since we've had crisis, and we all know that crisis leads to growing government, doesn't it? I mean, we certainly saw that after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that after World War II. Even back to the Civil War, this country was changed, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the stuff that, this is stuff that we brought up on the show many times over. Mm-hmm. And there's, but, you know, we talked about earlier, you blew my mind away about how deep this really goes, especially with China, because we're seeing China involved in all this and everything, you know, what we talked about. Why don't you go ahead and talk about that?
Okay, so just what I wanted to say about crisis is there's a, for anybody who wants to dig into that, there's a book out by Robert Higgs, and it's called Crisis and Leviathan, and it definitely demonstrates over a period of time how government expands itself whenever there's a crisis, even if you have to create that crisis. You know, problem, reaction, solution. So we know who operates on that mechanism. It's a popular one, and it can also be proven through research. So as we're talking about China, we do know that President Trump has been taking some economic actions, and he's been speaking against the economic warfare that has been waged upon America, that essentially our Congress and international corporations have been waging on this country. I'm sure I am old enough to know, but I don't know about everyone on this panel here. At one time, America was completely reliant on itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything that we purchased was here. It was no problem. You could get you could get as many jobs in one day, any day of the week, as you could find. I mean, jobs were abundant, goods were quality, and then all of a sudden they're exported, aren't they? Well, there's been something been driving that whole thing, profit and greed, but it also it leads to a bigger picture. So with China, don't we find it interesting that over the weekend, did anyone see the naval ship in San Diego?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, I think Chief Rybeck left his pies in the oven again on that one.
Did anyone notice what happened at the at one of the Marine bases several days before that, U.S. Marine base? And has anyone heard about a huge explosion in China in the last 10 days?
No.
Not in China. I heard about the one in Iran, and I do believe our buddies, the Israelis, did that.
Well, Iran has had a total of three. They've all been taking place in metropolitan areas where it's high-density population. And, of course, if you've seen the video, it's significant, as well as this one that took place in China. There were also, near the end of last year, two in Russia. So what's going on there? You know, you can't, it's very hard to get a follow-up story, isn't it, to a lot of this stuff. We just, you just really have to dig and put these things together. So, as of late, we've had April 2nd, the United Nations put China in charge as a global-style police organization, giving them global authority to be like police, including, you like it, over freedom of speech, health, enforced disappearances, and arbitrary detention. So this was on April 2nd this year. It happened in Geneva, Switzerland. Okay?
Right.
So it sounds innocuous, like what does that mean? Well, it's interesting when you find out, you know, you've heard about Huawei. You've also should know about the Road and Belt Initiative, which is essentially the UN's goal for an infrastructure globally.
Mm-hmm.
We know that England is not fans of being against Huawei, and that seems to be a sticking point between the U.S. current administration and England right now.
Right.
So the other thing that has happened is we've had, in the meantime, we've had, last month, we had the World Economic Forum.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, actually this month on the 12th, I'm sorry. So this happened sooner. And what is the World Economic Forum? Okay, so that's the NGOs of the world, non-governmental organizations. So as soon as you say NGO, you know that the United Nations is there. And
right.
They talked about the Paris Climate Accord, the Fourth Industrial Revolution, Bank for International Settlements, and it went through 2025. So they're talking about the COVID action plan.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the COVID action plan? Well, first of all, we can say that COVID is a crisis, isn't it? And they made it one. You know, how many of y'all thought that those first 15 days when we have the president on the TV saying, oh, my goodness, we have a virus, we need everybody to hunker down at least for 15 days. Well,
right.
You know, when I stuck my head up out of the gopher hole and started peeking around, I'm expecting to see millions of bodies everywhere, but it didn't happen.
Right. And I think we all did. I think we all did when you say so, Virgil Russell, because we were like, where are the bodies? How come the morgues ain't overflowing? How come the crematories ain't burning like China was? You know?
Now, I don't know if any of y'all watched some of that video coming out of China, but there was absolutely little verification to what was being claimed as happening there. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they have bodies supposedly lining the sidewalk in body bags. Well, they could have stuffed that with newspaper. So, you know, rule number one is you can't trust communists.
Right.
Well,
right.
Well, darling, let's all remember this. Let's all remember this. Okay. Hollywood is worldwide. The entertainment industry is worldwide. You have people that have the ability through physical labors and photography to create the best special effects that you have ever
mm-hmm.
seen on a video. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They can make you believe that six-armed aliens have landed and are tear-assing through the cities, cannibalizing people, roasting them at the spit, whatever. You can't look at the movie Saving Private Ryan. There was not more of a realistic battle scene than the landing at Omaha Beach by the Americans. I mean, look at this. You got guys cut in half. You got guys' guts hanging out. You got guys picking up an arm. And it's guys getting shot in the head. You know, Russell and I, we're combat veterans. We've seen guys get shot in the head. Russell got shot in the head. I almost got my head blown off. And it looks realistic, but this is Hollywood, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what's to say that they cannot fabricate, duplicate, and make up on film what you see on TV as special effects?
Well, that's
mm-hmm.
correct. And especially when you consider the source.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
so,
you have to
prove this thing out. Now we
right.
have, I don't know if you've ever been to any of these websites. I like to hear straight from the horse's mouth. But we have the IMF, and the article I'm referencing right now is on Zero Hedge. I don't know if any of you ever visit Zero Hedge. They're a good source for information that you can follow. So we have a COVID action plan shaping the future of technology governance, which includes blockchain and distributed ledger technologies. So we're talking about, how many of you have heard of technocracy?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So shaping the future of new economy and society, they want to shape the future of consumption. Ooh, that sounds Agenda 2030, doesn't it? They want zero carbon emissions. If anybody can't figure out what that means zero carbon emissions. Nobody's breathing, so they won't be breathing. Shaping
right.
the future of digital economy and new value creation. Well, who in the world has the authority to deal with digital economy, new value creation, financial and monetary systems, artificial intelligence and machine learning, the future of trade and global economic interdependence, the futures of cities, infrastructure, and urban services, the future of energy and materials, media, entertainment, and, of course, culture. So we can immediately, with all the finances, you can go to the IMF, International Monetary Fund. And how much do they like to get things going to further their agenda? So what they're talking about here.
Go ahead, Virgil.
Well, let me, okay, first of all, I'm going to tell you something about myself, ma'am. I'm a truck driver. I go all over the United States. I pull hazardous material chemicals to plant from one plant to another. All right. I was in Florida last week, in Lee, Florida. And we stopped at a place called Jimmy's Travel Plaza. It's got a nice little restaurant, Red Onion Cafe. And my wife and I were sitting outside smoking a cigarette. Yeah, I know I ain't supposed to be smoking, so what? Blah, blah, blah. Okay. But we were talking with a lady who is in accounts payable and billing for a hospital. And I wanted to tell you guys this. You know, we hate to admit that when we're wrong, when we're wrong about something. But the $13,000 to go to the hospital and the $39,000 to get put on the ventilator, I'm sad to say, fellas, we were wrong about that. We were wrong. And I'm going to tell you why. This lady says she's printing out bills for 30-day stays, for 30 and 45-day stays. Now, a hospital week, it runs on 5 days. It doesn't run on 7 days. So, not many people know that. So, a 37-day stay in the hospital with COVID-19, she's sending out bills for $200,000 and $300,000 for 30-day stays. That is correct. Okay?
Wow.
And she proved it to me. Okay? Now, let's look at this. Let's go where she's talking about the International Monetary Fund. Okay, let's look at all these bills going to Medicaid, Medicare, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, whatever your health care provider is, that you have gone to the hospital for COVID-19 and they get one of these bills. Do you think these insurance companies can really afford to pay all these bills, especially for the people who died in the hospital? Just because you died, that doesn't mean they're not going to charge your insurance company. Okay? So what do you have to do? What do you have to do? Okay? Here we go. Please, Mr. Government, bail us out. Okay? They're going to do it. They're going to do it. But there's going to be a catch to it. There's going to be a catch to it. Which, if you ever deal with the government, they're going to put a catch in there. They're going to put a clause in there. They're going to put fine print in there. And what's going to happen is, okay, we'll bail you out, but you have to automatically cover people that don't have the ability to afford your health insurance, and we'll just bill working people that have job and businesses to pay for them. AKA
yeah.
Obamacare is back into play, which is what
mm-hmm.
they've always, which they have been wetting their diapers for since day one. Day one.
But anyway, let's get back to China. I think this whole COVID thing is a pandemic and the biggest psyop ever run on the world in the history of mankind. But getting back to China, correct me if I'm wrong, Nancy, but this China problem just didn't happen, okay? It's been going on, and the people who really ushered this problem in with the Chinese and opened the door for them wide open was the Clintons. Am I wrong?
Yes.
No, you're incorrect. You are not.
I said Kissinger and Nixon. They had already turned communist by then. And that happened in the early 40s, but it actually started in revolutionary times before then. You know, they border with Russia, and when Japan was invading, a lot of them were fleeing over the border into Russia. Russia at the time was communist. So what a perfect opportunity, wasn't it? So they started in the north and started a revolution. There's a very good documentary on this, and you can find it on YouTube, and the channel is NTD. N is in nickel, T is in Tom, D is in daily. I don't know. So NTD. And so they were behind the curtain for a while until Kissinger went over there and opened the door. And wasn't long. We saw that Nixon was gone. And then we had David Rockefeller as vice president, who founded the Trilateral Commission with the big new Brzezinski that worked for Jimmy Carter. So a lot happened at that time. So we know that I've got a very good documentary on my channel, Sassafras, that talks about the Khmer Rouge and how the U.S., through their policies, provided arms to the communists that allowed that to happen. So that went on until, I think, the early 80s when that was finally ended. However, you know, these same people had to find a way to undermine the sovereignty of the United States, and certainly a way to do that would be to export all manufacturing, wouldn't it? So
that's what that is.
That's exactly what they did, and they liked the social structure of how the government has total control over the people there as well. So for greedy oligarchs, that sounds like a good deal, and it's the same greedy oligarchs that are behind the scenes running the United Nations, the International Monetary Fund. And there's something that I wanted to interject about the health insurance, too, and the payment for COVID-19. Now, I happen to watch live stream the president and Mnuchin. Mnuchin is, of course, over Trump's financial policies. And watching the whole thing and what came out of it was I have yet to go and verify this, but this was based on what I was hearing and watching, so I have not actually looked at the documents. My understanding is that if you have COVID-19, if you test positive, you will get a weekly check for so many weeks as long as you're being documented. So that could be why so many people keep retesting, even though they have no symptoms. It's, you know, so it's the same people who are out there buying all the toilet paper when the shipments come in. So it's also The same goes if you were hospitalized. You know, that would pick up your bill. But who's covering all this? Well, the Federal Reserve is. And who does the Federal Reserve answer to? International Monetary Fund. They're the bank of the global organization. So if you were to say the United States or the United Nations or a government, who is their bank? Well, their bank is the International Monetary Fund. So what they put forward just the other day out of their economic forum, of which global banks and all the globalists were there, including Gates and his organization that works for the WHO. Here's what they said. This is their final paragraph, and it's the fiscal policies post-COVID-19. They say this. Once effective vaccine and therapeutics against COVID-19 are widely available, we will enter a post-COVID world and truly escape the great lockdown. That will only be possible if international solidarity allows for access to treatment and vaccines for all people in developed and in developing countries alike. At that stage, government should redirect fiscal policy toward resilient, sustainable, and inclusive growth. Policymakers should tackle the rising poverty and inequality, as well as the structural weaknesses exposed by both the crisis, to better prepare for future shocks. This includes investing in stronger health systems, better resource social safety nets, and digitalization. Authorities should actively support climate-friendly investments to promote greener, job-rich, and innovative growth. Fiscal policy must also tackle inequality through spending aimed at universal access to health and education and progressive tax systems.
So all this, what that means is RSD shipping, right?
Well, there are certain words in here that are coming directly out of UN agenda. Resilient cities. Those are cities that have full cameras. They can watch everything that you're doing. They can track everything. I would say that's 5G. They'll be tracking everyone on their phones. They'll be able to use that tracking system with the COVID if you're carrying a phone around. Sustainable, that's certainly a UN agenda. And that includes you don't get, you know, cold in the winter. Well, you put on a bigger jacket because you're not turning up. You know, you only get 500 calories per day. And inclusive growth means that they will control the businesses, they will control licensing, they're going to control your education, they're going to make the determination on who's the winners and losers. It will no longer be a society where you can determine your own destiny based on, you know, what are your goals in life. So this is Marxism.
So what you're saying is, basically what I've been saying for quite some time.
That's what they're saying. That's what the International Monetary Fund is saying.
Okay. So what you're saying is that they want a one world electronic currency.
Yes.
And if you don't comply with everything they want you to do, they freeze your account and you can't get a damn thing.
Pretty much.
Wow.
Joe, we got a bad feedback on this.
It's not coming from me because I got everything all my ends the way it should be, so I haven't tested anything.
I just started. I think somebody done hacked into us. No, it doesn't stop me.
Yeah, stop now. First time we have. So, but you know, and all this makes sense because you know me and Sassy has been talking for the past day or two on this, This is very well planned. I mean, look, businesses are falling down, collapsing. New Mexico, we're back to lockdown, like as Virgil was saying. They're having to show papers now. What more proof do you need?
If we review our Constitution, laws are created through the legislature. Somebody introduces a bill to the floor, they debate it, they make any changes or their amendments to it, whatever, and we have a legislative process, and then they vote on it. If it passes, it goes to a Senate body. We have that at the national level, and each state should have it. But what we're having now is a government being controlled by edicts. These are completely unlawful. Completely unlawful. And unfortunately, and fortunately for Americans, but fortunately for these globalists, people don't understand how the Constitution works, because isn't that boring? And we hate we hate the Constitution anyway, because weren't they a bunch of racists? But, you know, here is the legislative process. If that passes the Senate, then it's passed and it goes before either a governor or a president, and then it's signed. That's how laws are created. But we have people who are staying at home who are being, you know, if they do go shopping somewhere, they're being attacked, whether they're not wearing a mask. They're being disallowed into a business if they're not wearing a mask. They're having their...
Oh, it goes further than that. It goes further than that, darling. There was a flatbed driver in Indiana pulled up to a Flying J truck stop. And he thought something was going on. He thought it was a raid or somebody done mass shoot, whatever it was. But they have security guards out by the diesel pumps on the fuel islands. The truck drivers have to get out of their trucks wearing a mask, or they are not, or they are not allowed to fuel their trucks there.
And what state is this?
Wow.
This is Indiana.
Wow.
I mean, this shit is getting out of hand, people.
Utah wants them.
Well, here's what's going on here in New Mexico, guys, is that me and Russell talked about this Friday. Well, I'm already starting to see digital currency here in New Mexico. Everything, we have to use credit cards.
You know, that's not all. In Louisiana, John Dumbbell Adolph Edwards, I tell you what, this is what happens when you get your governor off Wish, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This guy here, he's going to shut up. He's saying there's a spike in COVID-19 cases. We're going to shut the bar rooms down again, and we're going to increase social distancing and, if necessary, go back to phase one. People are ready to burn the entire state of Louisiana down behind this dumb son of a bitch. Because let me ask you a question, Russell. Do you wear the same underwear for a week in a row?
No.
Okay.
And he's been out trucking. No, I'm just kidding.
Do you? Does anyone on this show wear the same socks for a week?
Nope.
In a row. Okay.
Nope.
Now, here you have people. They go buy these goddamn cheap-ass, useless face masks, and they put these things on, and they use the same one day after day after day after day. Now, anyone... who has been through airborne pathology safety training in these plants like Russell and I have, no. See, I have to offload sometimes some volatile chemicals, acids, corrosives, ammonias, and things like that. I have to wear a respirator. Okay? When I put that respirator on, for the duration of the unloading of that product, and I take it off, that respirator is contaminated with bacteria that I have discharge from my lungs. And the bacteria cannot survive without a host. Once it leaves your body, it's going to die.
Right.
If you let the bacteria build up in these masks, what are you doing? You're breathing back in dead bacteria. You get an upper respiratory infection. You go to the hospital. They put the Q-tip up your nose. Oh, my God, you got COVID-19. Another $100,000 going to walk through the door, ladies and gentlemen.
I'd like to validate your thoughts there, because even if you know anybody that wears a CPAP machine, or just watch the advertisements for that. Somebody's
give that lady a Cupid doll. Yes, please. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. How tall are you, ma'am? How tall are you?
I'm tall. I'm like 5'8".
How tall? Oh,
5'8"?
Okay. All right, Russell. We can't get her on the midget stripper, okay? So I won't joke on the show if you don't realize. Okay. But you've just confirmed everything. When I use that respirator, after I use it, I have to decontaminate it. You talk to any firefighter that has to use a self-contained air pack. Once they use those face masks, they're contaminated. They have to be decontaminated. Mm-hmm. You cannot go out. The reason the COVID-19 is spiking is because people are breathing through dirty masks. Take your air conditioner filter, for example.
Well,
Take your air conditioner filter for us. Nobody likes to clean that. It's a horrible thing to clean out of your central unit or your window unit.
Yeah.
Okay? Take the goddamn filter and turn it backwards and put it back in dirty and see what happens. See if you don't get sick in your house.
Well, that's true as well. And you know, if you've ever had a pneumonia or upper respiratory infection and you're at the doctor's office and they give you a breathing treatment, they throw away what you were using to breathe in. It's disposable.
Mm-hmm.
That entire industry is disposable because they know. But unfortunately, what they're doing is they have America. We have a group of insurgency in this country. We all see them almost nightly if you care to look for it. They're out there. And they're pushing these agendas. And they're inside of government pushing this agenda. They're inside your governor's mansion. But the biggest mistake and the number one cure for the virus is for the president to stop funding states COVID dollars. I call them COVID dollars because if a city or a county or a state takes emergency action declaring COVID-19, they get federal funding, which is coming from the Federal Reserve, which is coming from International Monetary Fund, the World Health Organization, all these NGOs. So how many states before COVID-19 were not in good standing?
New Mexico is one of them. We were one of the we were hitting rock bottom because of our governor that was robbing us blind and tightening her. All of a sudden, oh, we got these emergencies. We got to have these tents. We got to have this. We got to have. Where did all that money go?
And if you see,
I'm gonna tell y'all this right now. Okay, this is a classic textbook trait of the federal government, and I'm going to prove it to you right now. Okay, Navajo Indians on the reservation, here, take these blankets. They'll be nice and warm, keep you nice and warm this winter. Anybody want to finish that story? Okay, here we go. Put your mask on. It's going to make you better. It's going to make you more healthier. Let me tell you something. If you ever got to ask anybody, I've said this before and I'll say it again, if you ever got to ask anybody if you can trust your government, go to any Indian reservation and ask the people living on that.
That is correct.
Don't ever trust anything the goddamn government told you. Don't ever trust anything the government told you. William Westmoreland filed false report after false report after false report in the Vietnam War because he was part of the military-industrial complex, and it wasn't until somebody exposed the Pentagon Papers and showed that America was not doing that well in Vietnam.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, they didn't want to do well. They could have done well,
They were losing 7 out of 10 helicopters every day in Vietnam, and Hughes Helicopter wanted to continue building helicopters. Dow Chemical wanted to continue making napalm.
Yes.
Bell wanted to continue making jets. All of this. It all comes down to this, ladies and gentlemen, what this woman is trying to say. Okay? The government wants to get out, and they're using this to expand. They're using this wound to expand. What else uses a wound to expand? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Infection, sepsis, cancer. Okay? And it's eating this country to the bone.
Well, personally,
if something is not done, if something is not done, then it's all gone. It's all gone.
Mm-hmm.
We're at a precipice right now.
Yes.
Somebody's
got to
make a decision. Somebody's got to make a decision.
We have a huge
Come and take it or back the blue. You know, this couple up in St. Louis that had their guns confiscated. That just totally made my blood pressure go up when I read about that. That just totally made my
A pregnant woman getting in her car with her husband from a restaurant. They were being attacked at their vehicle. And so because she licensed, concealed, carry permit, the whole nine yards, and I looked at the state requirements for that, and they were quite demanding. And so she and her husband get arrested because they were defending themselves. How many people are being attacked now for defending themselves?
Well, I'm going to tell you something about that right now. Russell can verify this. There is nothing that'll get you killed quicker in a hot combat zone than a second lieutenant. Am I wrong, Russell?
Yeah. Nope. No, you're 100%
okay.
Right.
My uncle, who served in Vietnam, told me a story, and I still laugh about it to this day. They got a new second lieutenant, came in, got off the chopper, had his flak jacket buttoned all the way up to his neck. He could barely breathe. Brand new uniform, brand new M16, brand new 1911. He was spick, span, and shiny. And he had an Army field manual under his arm. And he asked him, he said, "Lieutenant, what are you doing with that field manual?" He said, "Oh, in case we get in an ambush, I want to know what to do."
Oh, God.
Everybody in the whole platoon stayed a minimum of 50 feet away from this son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Jackie, is that your name?
Yes, Assassin.
Let me ask you a question. What was the average life expectancy of a second lieutenant dropped in a hot LZ in Vietnam, 1968?
90 days.
Wrong. Yes, again.
45.
Nope. You want me to tell you?
44 hours.
We have to play higher
hours.
Or lower. Yes, please tell me.
12.3 seconds.
Okay. Wow.
And
also,
right.
That is, you can look that up. That is a Marine Corps statistical fact. Second lieutenant dropped in a hot LZ. Life expectancy is 12.3 seconds.
Yep. Wow. Well, you know, here's the thing, guys. This is all leading for China. China is basically controlling all this pandemic, everything that's going on. And me and Sassy talked earlier about that naval ship. Would you guys like to know what's behind that? This will blow your mind. Go ahead, Sassy, tell her.
Okay, so
tell
this naval ship was an assault ship. So if we go back and think about what did he do on April 30th? Which was under the radar because we had this COVID, okay? He signed an executive order on ordering selected reserve of the armed forces to active duty. Now, we're thinking that's probably domestic, because we saw a lot of movement throughout the states and placement of vehicles. But I also want to let you know he cites a document, and he cites the GAO. You can find it on GAO.gov. The counter-narcotics section, overview of U.S. efforts in the Western Hemisphere. This was published October 13 of 2017. And it's talking about it's a map, you'll see it, and it is a map of major drug-producing and drug-transit countries in the Western Hemisphere. Well, goodness gracious, Venezuela's right there, and it's highlighted. And
Russell, this is your territory here. This is your territory, Gunny.
It's also a country that has Russia there. It's also a country that has China there. And because under the current government, well, it's also a strategic location, too, if you want to look at it on a map. It is just strategic to the United States. But, you know, here we have given the Panama Canal already to China under the Clinton administration. That was signed by Jimmy Carter. But we have Venezuela, who's in debt and broke, was being propped up by Russian oligarchs who said they want their money. So that was a lot of money. So Russia's there. And then, of course, China, they're notorious for loaning. And then when you can't pay, they come in and take it over. And then, you know, here of late, we even had Iran delivered oil to Venezuela. So
right.
Now,
Panama Canal, as far as the Panama Canal, you're partially right about that. It was Bush 41 that set that up when he took out Noriega.
Well, I clearly remember when Jimmy Carter signed that over, and I do know that it was also signed over, so it could have been the official keys handed over by 41. And, yes, I remember Noriega and the whole thing going on there as well. So this whole area of the country, you know, isn't it interesting that, you know, if you look back at the history of these countries, and when
he was the president of Nicaragua. I put him as the president of Panama.
Okay.
What was that little asshole's name that was swinging a machete, beating and saying he declared war on America?
Crazy. Who cares? Does it really matter in this scheme of things? But how these countries became communist is when we had the anti-fascists in Germany who were funded by the Marxists out of communist Russia trying to overthrow Germany. And they ended up with the rise to power of Hitler. A lot of these communists fled France. They fled Germany. They fled, you know, they let some people out to help guide them and keep an eye on them from Russia. And a lot of them went to Central America at that time. And, of course, you know, it's been a history in the making since then. So, it's, you know, the ideas just didn't transplant themselves. There were people with the ideas that came there. So it's also a backdoor approach into the United States. You know, Leon Trotsky himself died in Mexico. Stalin killed him there. That's true. that he had lived there for quite some time. And it's no coincidence that their current president of Mexico is a self-declared communist. So,
right.
You know, they really set the stage here. So this is the kind of news that you're not going to hear about because they covered it up with a mask from COVID-19, isn't it?
Exactly.
So where would an amphibious assault ship be going that it was to pull out with another ship? And I'd have to go back and look at the story on that. A lot of this stuff I read so much, I don't even save it. I just file it in my brain and go. Is it's an indicator of pieces are moving. But, you know, in the context of him taking this action on April 30th, he also had, over Friday, the President Trump had a meeting with former Cubans and Venezuelans. He had a roundtable, and he's listening to them talk about communism, and he makes a small comment. And if you look for the full video on YouTube, you can watch it. But he makes a small comment inferring that, you know, the plans are ready to go. They're ready to attack. And on this, you know, the next day we have this ship in San Diego. So, you know, was that somebody on the inside? Was it an accident? You know, they were getting ready to go somewhere. Where were they going? So this is
right.
A lot of interesting questions, and we'll probably not hear about where they were actually going. But we do know that this executive order is up on whitehouse.gov, dated April 30th, and you can go read it. You can also go to the GAO and see this 2017 plan, and it's, you know, it even states in there that we reviewed these activities and found that between 2010 and 2015, federal agencies spent about $39 billion to counter drug trafficking in the Western Hemisphere. And what have we been hearing so much of? And is the drug cartels, the drug trafficking.
Even trafficking.
Even if when we discuss the Iranian general who was put down by a drone, which I like that. I thought that was pretty good. And maybe we... those more often. I'm thinking Soros, but here we have that type of activity, and part of the reasoning for it is they were using cartels out of Mexico and the drug money that was funding the organization. You know, when you have countries like North Korea, you know, what's their gross domestic product? Well, everything on the black market. You know, these countries are surviving out here on illicit activities that are under the radar, and I would suspect being funded by many NGOs just to keep things distracted on purpose to achieve a bigger goal. So, you know, again, even when we're talking about the COVID-19 and the debts that people have in this country, are they wearing the mask? Are salon owners complying with all these fake laws so they can get their bills paid? Mm-hmm. You know, the borrower is slave to the lender, and that's kind of the methodology that we're seeing that's, you know, how they're reeling in their victims and certainly how they're pushing their agenda. And
well, the best way I see this, Sassy, correct me if I'm wrong, the best way to collapse the world economy is to collapse the United States.
Well, once you collapse the United States, you are going to see unprecedented, well, you probably won't see it because it means a total crash of the world, and unspeakable things will begin to happen.
Oh, yeah. And we've been saying this all along on our show. We said, I know the Christians talked about it, we talked about it, and it's like, you know,
we have a window right now. It's a short one. And there's one thing that gives me a good feeling, and that is the 2A owners, former vets like yourself, savvy Americans who take time to learn how to defend their liberties. And you know, it's been proven in the sales recently, but, you know, overwhelming majority of Americans, I mean, if you wanted to say, if we were to be organized, we'd be the largest army in the world. And
oh, yeah.
We have more rounds to deal with every Chinese. So what way can you roll a nation other than undermining its national sovereignty and then come out with an invisible enemy?
Well, look how well Antifa and Black Lives Matter are very well organized. You're saying that explain what
Yes, they are. And I found an article last year, and I kind of let it, you know, I filed it away because these things will pop back up. They just don't come out.
Right.
It's found on Defense Web, and isn't it interesting to know that it's Africa's leading defense news portal? Now, why in the world, you know, I didn't know Africa had an army. Did anyone here? I mean, if you look at the countries in Africa, you know, they're rolling these despots as quick as they can. Anyway, they have an article that says China's arms exports are on the rise. And so I held that one. I thought, that's interesting coming out of Africa. What a way to hide the news. So here we have recently on July 3rd, they've got new intel out. This is off Natural News. Communist China is providing automatic weapons to Antifa, Black Lives Matter. And some are stored in Democrat run government buildings, including East End complex of the Capitol building in Sacramento, Block 174.
Bingo.
Thank you for confirming that
because this is, we preached about this, and Russell.
I did a little story on that just a few days ago, and our Customs and Border Patrol guys in St. Louis busted a Chinese shipment that was 10,800 weapon parts for building ARs and AKs. 10,800 pieces. And that was June the 26th, St. Louis, and you can find that story on the CBP website. So you're 100% right. You know, and that goes. And people forget, they have a short memory. Remember when Obama administration, they bought 2 billion rounds of ammo and all these agencies that you were going, what the hell does the IRS need with that kind of weaponry and ammunition?
Well, what about those boxcars?
EPA, Joseph.
Go ahead.
You know, what do they need all this for? But if you go back and, like you said, if people will pay attention, Barack Obama came out and said they needed a civilian army that was every bit as well equipped and well funded as the U.S. military. And what you have right now, BLM, Antifa is still kind of a joke. They're much spoiled
white kids.
But BLM is a very serious, very well-funded organization, and there's nothing to do with Black Lives. They are a Marxist revolution.
Antifa is as well. Antifa is global. Antifa is also in ties with CAR, which CAR is the Council of American Islamic Relations and the Muslim Brotherhood.
I can back up the shipments from China because I was called into Homeland Security in Baton Rouge, Louisiana for a pistol component which would turn a Glock into a fully automatic pistol that was sent to me, and I didn't order this shit. It was sent to me, and I sat down and had to talk with these people and had to sign papers to have this thing destroyed. And the Homeland Security officer, who was a very nice young man, and we sat down and talked extensively about this. These things came in by the tens of thousands. And they haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg in finding these things. All right?
Correct.
He showed me that... It was a selector switch that you could install on the back of a Glock 19 pistol or a Glock 17 pistol, and you could flip the switch and you could turn that pistol into fully automatic, a fully automatic weapon, which is illegal in the United States now since 1986. But these things flooded into them. They finally caught them. Some of them were coming in as radio parts. He showed it to me. He let me see it. I held it in my hand. It had the Glock logo on the back of it, and it was not a hunk of junk. It was machine manufactured to the T. And they were looking for these things. They were tracking people down, the addresses and everything that these came from. They have a record of them when it comes in. It goes through customs and everything, but they didn't know what they were looking at until it was too late. And these were sent to people. They tracked down gangbangers, cartel members in the United States. One ignorant son of a bitch went to Jim's Firearms in Baton Rouge with the damn thing and asked them to install it for him because he thought it was a safety switch, he told them. They ran him out the door and called the state police. They didn't want nothing to do with it.
I remember that.
Because just walking through the door with that damn thing could have got the whole place's license pulled.
So I want to ask you guys that are truckers. You know, I ended up having to make a trip up to St. Cloud, Minnesota a couple weekends ago. And I'm out on the highway in my vehicle. And, of course, you know, I went from roughly around Atlanta at the time was under siege, and went through Chattanooga and Nashville, and then on up into part of Kentucky, and then over into Illinois, through St. Louis, across that state, Missouri, and then went north again into Iowa and on in up into Minnesota. What I noticed were these small vehicles, newer models, that had paper tags that said tag applied for. They were driving erratically on the road. They were trying to wreck people. They were hitting their brakes in front of truckers, and a lot of them were speeding. They had no time to waste. They were getting it on down the road. So I mentioned this to someone that I know and sent them an email about it describing my observations, and got some information back stating that this is it's go time, that they're using this virus to keep everybody locked down in their homes so they can move things around in the country. They're using they were claiming they using truck stops, but that's where I stopped, and I didn't see any activity like that at the truck stops. I could, you know, it just could have been the time of day or night that I was there, but I didn't on either going or coming back. But I did notice the consistency of those vehicles. I'm seeing them show up around when I'm out because I'm looking for it specifically. But when you look at the persons in the cars, they are definitely college age, and they look like Antifa types and BLM. So what I understand, what I was told, is it's considered go time, like I said. When we look at these cities that I mentioned, if you just type in sanctuary cities, you're going to be shocked when you look at the sanctuary cities of which President Trump has mentioned numerous times, the sanctuary cities. And they won't allow ICE in there. They won't allow ICE in there to get out non-citizens. So who are in these cities? They are getting armed weaponry in these cities. They're transporting their activities through these cities. And they're using international law and violating the constitutional law. These mayors are, and didn't they create a false flag to hate the police? Well, if you look at how Russia was rolled, they went after the police immediately. Same thing in China. So when they were rolled, communists, So you have to assess the whole situation and the methods on how communists actually work, and you know, and China supporting arms to these people.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, Sassy. I've been saying this for the last couple of years. Here in New Mexico, there was a compound that was discovered. And I talked about this way before they found it because I knew exactly where they were at. It was 45 miles down the road. There was a Muslim compound. There are Muslims stationed out here in these sanctuary cities.
Yes.
That's where these are going to. Crossing in from the border.
Well, you would not believe the things we see at these truck stops. You would not believe it. I belong to an organization called Truckers Against Trafficking. All right. We have a national database, and if we see something, we call it in, and they call the authorities, and they make them get right on it. Okay. Mm-hmm. We have had cases of 12-year-old girls being forced into prostitution, working these parking lots, and Truckers Against Trafficking finds them, and they're basically terrified to death, because when they make one girl work the truck stop, they're holding another girl hostage, whether it's a friend or a family member.
Mm-hmm.
And they're telling them, you know, if you say anything, do anything, you know, we'll kill them. Okay. Mostly this is being done by MS-13 members and cartel members. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, there are female pimps that are doing this too.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what
we have Truckers Against Trafficking has broken up several child prostitution rings working truck stops. And I mean, when I say broke up, I'm talking about cases where there are 50 and 60 children forced into prostitution rings in truck stops. And this is big business. This is big business.
So how easy do you think it would be to just human traffic, you know, people that would be here for reasons like a guerrilla warfare type foreign troops being inserted using trucks through truck stops until they get to these sanctuary cities and unload them in a warehouse and house them?
Well, here's the thing.
Here's another thing, too. You see, it's all about, you know, customs enforcement. Okay, customs enforcement is run by people. And people, everybody has their own price.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. Me, Joseph, and Russell, we will stick our dingus in a beehive for the right price, okay? You know, everybody has their price.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to find the lowly paid customs officer that's going to search a cargo container marked radioactive waste.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You know, they don't get paid enough for that.
Mm-hmm.
You would not, I'm going to tell you something, y'all would not believe what they catch at the border with these trucks. They will take a chemical called phenyl-2-propanol, P2P, which is the key base for making crystal methamphetamine.
Mm-hmm.
They will fill every tire on a truck and trailer. They've done busted 100 of these on a truck and trailer and sneak that shit across the border.
Mm-hmm.
They catch about 2 out of every 10 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
So
They just started recently upping their game. You know, if you go back and forth across the Canadian border or back and forth across the Mexican-American border, they're now checking the air pressure in your tires. And if any liquid shoots out, guess what? You're going to have a sit-down with somebody, and they're going to test what's coming out of that tire.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So this is, you've got people coming across the border from Canada, going into Canada with loads of lumber that aren't lumber. They're two-by-sixes that are hollowed out, and kilos of cocaine are put inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're made to look up, and they're strapped down on these trucks, and they're loaded on these trucks. And a lot of the times, the drivers don't know. They're assuming that this is legitimate cargo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go through what's called load brokers.
Mm-hmm.
And they broker out these loads to these truck drivers, and they put them up on a computer board in these truck stops, and they got a phone number you call, and you say, okay, you give them your authority number, your DOT number. They run you, make sure you got insurance and everything on your truck, and then they say, okay, go ahead, pick up the load.
Mm-hmm.
And you go pick up the load, and you think it's a legitimate load.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's
not.
Oh, yeah.
Well, imagine
a lot of these weapons and contraband are getting into the country and getting moved through the country because they're mislabeled, they're misrepresented illegally as legitimate cargo.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Sassy. What was you going to say?
Well, imagine what they could bring in with people off the highway because they're in a state that's locked down.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, we have Minnesota and Michigan, and they border Canada.
Unless you're an essential truck driver for Amazon, Prime Amazon,
right?
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Unless you're a truck driver like I am, hauling isopropyl alcohol for hand sanitizers. You see, right now I'm in Illinois right now, and I have a trailer load of what's called ethyl styrene, which is used in making plastics. I'm going to a place called Plastics Unlimited in Preston, Iowa, with it.
Let me ask
right
you
now.
A firearm-related
okay,
question.
Go ahead. Okay.
On those plastics in a 3D printer, and people can print out a firearm, what about if they printed out a model that those components someone was describing earlier that can take a firearm and make it fully auto is what you were describing.
Well, ma'am, that ship is already sailed. You can go to a website called Prepper's Discount, and you can buy what's called an 80% disconnector sear, drop-in disconnector sear for an AR-15 rifle. Now, what a disconnector sear is, it is an apparatus which when the rifle is fired, the hammer comes back, the bolt comes back, it ejects the shell, okay? And as the bolt is slamming back forward to recycle another shell into the barrel, it hits the disconnector at the top, which is called an unneutered bolt carrier. It hits the disconnector at the top, releases the hammer automatically, and the whole process starts again. You see, an M16 is designed to shoot 12 rounds a second, 750 rounds a minute, if you can reload it fast enough. But you don't want to do that because, guess what? You got a Roman candle then.
I'm not gonna be
nowhere near you if you try that.
Right. So if you can 3D print out of plastic a weapon and you can put in the components that are made,
ma'am, I can show you how to use a paperclip and make an AR-15 fully automatic. It's called a lightning link. Let me educate you on something. Any semi-automatic weapon, whether it is a pistol, rifle, or shotgun, can be rigged to fire fully automatic. I don't care what make, what model it is.
On the plastics that you were referring to, I've been seeing an awful lot of young people that are putting up videos that are showing how you can 3D print a firearm.
Oh, yes.
So could these components that are being shipped be retrofitted into those 3D plastic printed firearms and used? Because not everything.
Well, yes, of course. Of course. Of course. There was a recent incident. Well, I say recent, about 3 years ago. There was an incident where a shipment of airsoft rifles came into the country to a business. Okay. Now, anything resembling a firearm coming into the United States, even that has to go through Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Explosives approval, no matter what it is. Mm-hmm. If it's a part for a gun, but, you know, the recent controversy over the bump stocks, you know, 1 minute they classify this, 1 minute they classify that. You have a thing called a pistol stabilizer for short barrel AR pistols that can resemble a buttstock. Had to be ATF approved. Okay, this shipment of airsoft rifles came in, and the ATF got to looking at this thing. They took one of them and took it apart. And when they took it apart, they realized that they could put it back together with AR-15 or M-16 parts within the lower fire control pocket. Well, automatically, they confiscated every one of them, because all you need, you gut this thing out, you drill a couple of holes, if you know what you're doing, which they have a lot of people that do. I do it myself. I build AR-15s. I do 80% lower receivers right in my garage, in my shed. I've posted videos on them. Joseph can tell you. Okay?
Yep.
You, if you know what you're doing and you put these components in, well, even though the lower end is plastic or polymer, you can put a aluminum and chrome upper receiver on this thing. It'll fit right on. It'll fit just like a glove. And you can load a magazine in, and you can fire this weapon if you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And
so,
anything you need to know, and all you need is what is called an 80% jig. I've got 6 different kinds at my house. I just recently purchased one that is the best in the world to me. You don't have to use the drill press. You can use a simple hand router and take an 80% lower aluminum receiver, unserialized, legal, mill it out, and it'll look like it was done on a CNC milling machine. Throw your components in, and bam, you got a live firearm.
Mm-hmm.
And all it takes is just a little bit of mathematical knowledge and measurement, and a minimum basic experience with tools, mechanical aptitude. Mm-hmm. And that's why, and it was on the national news. It was on the national news about these weapons, and when they confiscated them, you know, I immediately kind of put two and two together. The ATF didn't give a description of how to do this. They didn't want to do that. But looking at it and looking at the components that had scattered out on the table, you could clearly see that anybody with a basic knowledge in firearms could make these airsoft rifles shoot a bullet.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So there you go.
And it's impossible to trace. It's impossible to trace. They're as cold as they come. That's why the government is trying to get the ATF to ban 80% lower receiver kits and receiver jigs. Because I could teach someone You know, I taught my wife how to do one. I could teach anyone how to do one in about 2 hours, you know, do their first one. And anybody can do this, and you can buy the parts off the internet, and they have no serial numbers on them. The only rule they have about it is you can't sell it or trade it. You know, it's yours for life, unless you destroy it and prove that you destroyed it. Okay? Now, with that being said, that negates gun confiscation because you don't know who has these things. I mean, you've got hundreds of thousands of people out there in their shops right now, milling these things out, putting their ARs together. And, buddy, they come in some fabulous calibers. You can do 9mm, you can do 45, you can do the Secret Service nightmare round, the 5.7, which they've been trying to ban ever since it came into this country. Oh, by the way, Russell, Ruger now makes a 5.7 semi-automatic for under $600.
Yeah, I saw that. That one caught my
under $600, and it's a lot better. It's a lot better made than the other one, than the original. It's a lot better made. I talked to several people. They love it, man. They love it.
Man,
and the reason the Secret Service is trying to ban these, if you want to know, young lady, the reason they're trying to ban the 5.7, it's because it's a handgun round that very, very, very few companies make Kevlar bulletproof vest that will stop this round. And that includes the bulletproof vest that the Secret Service wear and that the president wears. It will not stop this bullet. It will penetrate a bulletproof vest, a Kevlar bulletproof vest.
Wow.
So if we look at the review, I think we can all agree that the COVID-19 is a virus, but the way it's being managed, the crisis that we find ourselves in, this crisis. I'm so sick of hearing that word. But they're playing it up to strip our civil liberties, to ignore the Constitution, to trample on civil liberties, seizing private property of individuals and, you know, the things that they own. They're limiting the maneuverability of people. They're restricting trades and goods. It's been a complete disruption here in the United States, globally, of course, as well. So we have these Marxist organizations, you know, Antifa, like I said, if you ever go to their website, they have a website, Rose City.
Oh, well, of course.
They are internationally organized.
Mm-hmm.
And what you see on TV is not the big guys, the anarchists behind them. They're very well organized. And they're just, you know, have got brainwashed youth out there. The original riots after George Floyd, they were out there. There's video footage up in Minneapolis of one of them all dressed in black breaking out the windows of the AutoZone, which was later torched. So, completely masked, had an umbrella, all dressed in black. The umbrella was to block a drone looking at them. So, amazingly, they didn't get the vehicle they were driving in, huh? But,
right.
You know, it's out there. These people are known, and they're being supported by the mainstream media. They're being supported by Democrat Marxists. And Minneapolis happens to also be the congressional district of Ilhan Omar, and there is also video footage of her and her fiancé or whatever, it's not her brother, but her campaign manager, that were amongst Antifa outside a Trump rally.
Right.
So,
well, her son got
arrested. Of course. And to back up to back up what Russell says about them, okay? I have a friend of mine, well, several friends of mine, who work for a prominent bail bond agency here, well, down in Louisiana. And after the fiasco with the Confederate monuments and everything in New Orleans, a bunch of them got arrested, and they bonded out. Well, they thought they wasn't going to have to go to court. Well, another thing coming. Okay. My friend tells me they go up to this house and they just can't believe it. They had to check the address at least 5 times before they went and knocked on the door to make sure they had the right address. They pull up to this beautiful 2-story brick home. I mean, there's a BMW and a one of those fancy decked out Hummers in the driveway, and ain't no telling what they had in the garage. And they knock on the door and they ask for the individual. Well, this very well educated, well dressed, sophisticated individual who was the boy's father answers the door. And he said, "Yes, that's my son." He said, "We have a warrant for his arrest." And all of a sudden, mommy went berserk. "This is a mistake. This is this. This is that." And they showed him the mugshot video. They showed him the arrest report. They showed him the warrant and everything else. And here's this little preppy punk son of a bitch sitting down at this humongous dinner table with his parents having supper. And dressed like he's going to town, and the girls don't know the meaning of the word no. And they just couldn't believe it, and cried like a baby when they put the handcuffs on him. Cried like a baby for mama to help him. I have said, and a bunch of people have said, these are nothing but a bunch of little spoil brat rich kids wanting to get out and play street gangster, wanting to get out and play Grand Theft Auto. Okay, for in real life, that's what the majority of them are.
Yep. Well, guys, it's getting close to that time and everything. So, Tassi, would you like to come back on tomorrow? We can finish up on China if you want to do that. We can, get everybody queued in and stuff, because they haven't really heard. This is just the tip of the iceberg of what we're talking about. And stuff. So what do you think? You want to come on tomorrow, or would you like to come on Thursday?
Let's try Thursday.
Okay. That way we can give everybody...
Y'all hanging like that. I didn't know we'd be a two-parter, but I understand.
Right. Well, this is a lot of information that we talked about this for years on this show, and you confirmed everything we talked about and stuff. But this is deeper. This goes way deeper than what everybody thinks, you know. So I think Thursday will be an eye opener. So,
well, it's like this. We love being right, but in these cases, in these days, we hate being accurate.
Exactly. And Sassy, I appreciate you much and everything. So I'll see you Thursday back on here and everything. So, and for all you that listened in, we hope this was good information to you and everything. So, but anyway, I tell you what, we'll go ahead and close the show, and we'll be back tomorrow night. So you all tune in and do leave your comments. We want to hear from you. You can find me on Parler. You know, contact me that way, William Bernardo 5 on Parler and stuff. And you can find Russell at Texas Recon and in Parler as well. So, and Virgil, did you get you a Parler account yet?
No, I didn't get one yet.
Okay. Well, if you guys want to leave your comments and stuff.
Also,
as we always say, you guys, you know, we support Lucretia Hughes as well. She supports us. So, y'all continue to her. She'll give you, she gives good feedback and stuff. So, but anyhow, Sassy, I appreciate it. Love you much. And
well, thank you
Thursday,
so much
right?
for having me on, guys. And I you know, pray up and stay alert. Pay attention to every little
right.
thing that's going on.
And for all the listeners out there, this is where I get my information from, basically right here. So, you know, and everything. So I've been itching to have her come on the show, and I figured this was the right time to do it. So, but all right, but we'll see y'all tomorrow night. Virgil, Russell, you got anything you want to say before we close?
No, just good night, America. Keep your head on the swivel and treat your secondary like American Express. Don't live home without it. Good night, America.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
And
we love you.
Louisiana, if you're listening, don't forget to follow the orders of your Führer. If your Führer says wear a mask, you gotta wear a mask, or you're gonna be sent to a re-education camp. Okay.
Right.
Go ahead, sheeple. Go ahead, sheeple.
Right.
You know.
Thank God.
You know what? You know what socialism is, people? You know what the definition of socialism is? It's two wolves and a lamb talking about what they're going to have for supper. Okay?
Yep.
Think about that.
Thankfully, our governor is going to be before the Supreme Court next month and everything.
Joseph, we forgot about something. AOC is out.
What's that?
AOC
is
out. She lost the primary. She lost her primary. She's lame duck.
Oh, wow.
She's out. She's
I
out.
Didn't hear that. Did you hear about that, Saturday?
Oh, yeah.
No, I haven't looked at that today.
Yeah,
well,
she got beat out by a little bit smarter Democrat that had more than two
wow.
brain cells to rub together. Okay. Okay. I don't think they voted for anybody stupider than her, because if anybody is stupider than her, you know, I mean, they're going to have to toilet train them, you know.
Right, right.
But
so, that's a good news. Now the thing is, I'm going to see Omar get beat, so that's going to be a good one. But all right, you guys, we'll go ahead and close off. We'll be back here tomorrow night. So thank y'all, and good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, America.
I'm going to play Virgil's favorite song.
fuck. Caught my wife with another man. Now I'm doing 99. At a prison.